Okay.
All right. We'll review once more what the new Mishnah is on the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Aleph.
Right.
And it deals with certain things. First of all, it says Beirach al Hayayin Shelifnei Hamazon, right? That if you made the bracha for the wine before you started in to eat a meal, then Potar Asayan Shelach Hamazon. And in that particular case, you don't have to then make a bracha for wine which will be served at the conclusion of the meal. Okay? That's the first thing that it says. Beirach al Parperes. And what if you made the bracha for parperes, and there are different ideas as to what parperes is. It's sort of like an hors d'oeuvre or something, according to Tosfos, as we learned last week or 2 weeks ago. They feel that it's bread with something smeared on it, okay? So that this is how they interpret the word parperes. All right, so let's say that you made a bracha for the parperes. Then in that particular case, before the meal, then potaras a parperes shalach hamazon. Then if they serve again, you know, these kind of desserts, so to speak, after the meal, you don't have to make the bracha over again. Of course, the first bracha that you made before starting to eat takes care of that. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Berach al pas. What if you made the bracha, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, you know, for the bread that you eat at the meal, then in that case potar is a parperes, and in that case you don't have to make the bracha then for any of these hors d'oeuvres that are going to be served subsequently. What if, however, al haparperes, you made the bracha for the parperes, for the hors d'oeuvre, then in that particular case it says lo potar is a pas. It did not excuse you from making the bracha motzilach noritz on the actual bread itself that's going to be served with the meal. They say also it does not, in other words, if you made the bracha for the parperes, then it does not include the whatever food is going to be served to you as well. Okay? In other words, like the main course. In other words, if you make the bracha for the hors d'oeuvre, it doesn't excuse you from whatever is being served as the main course. Okay. This is the way we understand it. As we'll see in a few moments, the language of Beis Shammai is not 100% clear. That is, they were not sure exactly how to understand the language of Beis Shammai over here. Then the Mishnah continues and it says, Hoyu Yoshvin. When they say Hoyu Yoshvin, well, you have to bear in mind, actually we'll see that they do make a distinction, first of all, between Yoshvin and Mesubin. Shades of the Furikashas, you see.
Yeah, right.
Because in those days, it was a very important thing. Yoshvin means you sit down at a table and you eat. And Mesubin means that you lie down, we recline on a couch, and you eat. Okay, so what is the difference?
You work that into the Seder too, your teaching. Yeah.
Good, good.
It's interesting.
So the Mishnah says that if they just sit down, then in that case everybody simply makes a bracha for himself. Okay. Hey, Sable, what if on the other hand, you know, they came and they reclined on the couches, then Echon Nevarech Yechuda. Then one person can recite the bracha for each one. In other words, as Rashi points out, just sitting down to a meal does not constitute that everybody is gathered together for a meal, a joint meal. Whereas, he says, if you are Mesubin, then in that particular case, that would indicate that you're gathered for a meal. Now, of course, we learned last week, Tosfos took issue with this. We'll simply review again very briefly what Tosfos had to say, the last Tosfos on the page. Okay? Where it says, they say bo echad davar echad, he says, we onu ein lanu heseva. He says, we do not have heseva. In other words, we do not, you know, when we gather to a meal together, we do not have this reclining business. It's not our custom anymore. Elo bepas bilvat. And the only time, you know, that we gather together is, you know, if we have a meal which is going to be served, let's say, with bread. Okay, but fas, it says that as far as a piece of bread is concerned, then mahani afilu below his seva, then this literally becomes effective even if you do not have hesepa. Why? Because the davka lelidhu. We're talking specifically in the Mishnah about their custom. Shahoyu oklan v'hesepa. In those days, they used to eat in hesepa, you know, but with reclining. So then, hoyu tzrichim hesepa. Then they required hesepa in order to do what? In order to constitute having, let's say, a meal together. Okay? Ela yeshiva shelonu, but our sitting down together, this is have a kivius lonu. And for us, this means that it is forming, you know, a. This is our way of sitting together and having a meal together, and it's keheseba didhu, right? And it's tantamount to their the heseba that they used to have in those days. In other words, if we sit down to a meal together at the same time at the table,
it's like they were
right, then in that particular case, it is just as effective as in those days when they would gather together and they would recline. Shehem hoyu regilim kol efer lahosev al mitaso v'al shulchano, because in those days the custom was that everyone would recline on his own mito. In this case, it means like couch, not bed. Okay, v'al shulchano, and also on his table, which means in this particular case, you have to bear in mind that in those days when they had these kind of dinners, you know, where they reclined on couches, then in that particular case, they would have each one an individual low serving table to which the food was brought, and they would each have, you know, a small table in front of them. Avol achshav, but now he says, kolonu oichlim na shulchanecha, we all eat together at one table. Ushonu oichlin yachad, and so therefore when we eat together, then haynu kiviyusenu, then this is the way we establish the fact that, you know, we're having a meal together. So the hochadik omar yoshvin, right? And here in the Mishnah where he says, you know, that if they sat down everyone then benches for himself, it's big more mashman de marim beim birchas hamosim beim birchas hamosim. Okay? Tosfos points out that when our text in the Mishnah over here says that everyone is for himself, it says that it applies both as to the bracha of hamotzi lechem haaretz as well as to the birchas hamosim. And then he brings Kehudin Talmidei the Rav, the Birkas Hamotzi, which is something I'm studying when we get to on the next side of the page, alright?
It's also called lived in the end of the 11th century.
Pardon me?
Rashi lived in the end of the 11th
yeah,
century.
Yeah, sometime in the 11th century, correct.
It's also called lived in the 12th century?
They, yeah, don't forget, the Tosfos was a generation or two after Rashi, so particularly two generations, but even one generation after Rashi, because, right, Rashi had no sons, he had only daughters, and one of them married a Shmuel, the Rashbam, okay, and another one married Meir, okay. So these were, you know, the disciples of Rashi. They were not only his sons-in-law, but also they were his talmidim, and then they were, so to speak, like the pioneers of the various comments that we have in Tosfos. And then along came Rabbeinu Tam and his generation. Rabbeinu Tam is really, he was really Rabbi, you know, Yaakov ben Meir. In other words, he was the grandson of Rashi. They all called him Rabbi Tam because of the fact that, you know, Tam means, you know, the perfect one. So they admired his scholarship and his mental ability, so, you know, that they gave him that title. Yeah. So,
well, if what is what was in the Mishnah?
Yeah.
How does that then? How do you reconcile the making the Boreya Priya Gluckman several times during the Seder for Pesach?
Okay, you see, you missed to a certain extent
right?
What we had. Yeah, you missed something that we had already learned before. Okay, that's all right. Maybe I'll just continue on the next slide because the idea itself we can draw from it. Okay,
fine.
But let me just say, first of all, that in the case of the Seder, there's no question, you know, that it's considered a din, a halacha, whatever you want to call it, that you must, you know, drink arba kosas. So there's no question. I mean, that goes without understanding,
you
right?
Make the brachas several times.
Correct. Okay. So, but we'll also learn that if, while the Mishnah says that if you made the bracha over the wine at the beginning, therefore it takes care of any wine that's going to be served subsequently. Yeah, but we'll see that that's not always the case, because the Gemara is going to bring a case where one of the great rabbis made a bracha not only for the wine, but he did it more than once. And they asked him, how come? And after all, Shteikah Shimon in the Mishnah, you know that you don't have to do it. So he answered, because I had not yet considered whether I was going to have. When I changed my mind, decided to have another cup of wine, so I have to make a bracha again.
Yeah, right.
If my intention was, you know, that I'm going to drink several cups of wine, that's one thing. But if my intention is, you know, only to have now a little wine, but, you know, I don't have it in my mind, I'm going to drink wine later on, then when they bring in wine later on, then in that case I have to make the bracha. So that would sort of explain, but as I say, the basic reason really in the Seder is because since we are required to drink four cups of wine, this is the law as far as the Seder is concerned. And not only that, Seder implies, you know, that it has to go in a certain order. I mean, could we drink, for example, four cups of wine at the beginning of the meal and say, okay, we're all finished?
No, I mean, I don't mean to change
right.
the Seder, but since you say make the Kiddush at the beginning,
right,
and you sit down with the intention,
yeah, then presumably you wouldn't have to make a broth again afterwards.
Right, that's
correct.
Right.
I mean, that's a good question, but as I say,
okay. It's an exception.
It's accepted, right.
I mean,
this is the way it is.
That was a derech nekuvela, ordinary course, but a seder is something so special that the ordinary deen doesn't apply to it.
There are exceptions. All right. I mean, you make rules, but there are exceptions to rules, okay?
I think the whole idea is not to make a brother of the fellow, that's all.
Yeah, I understand. That's absolutely right. But on the other hand, we don't want to cheat the B'nish Leilu. Also, you know, that if we should be making a brother, then, you know, the right thing is to make a brother.
Right.
So, it works hand in hand. Maury, come and join us in the discussion, okay? All right, so we see then that while the Mishnah says that if they sat, then it's everyone for himself, but if they reclined, then one, you know, that's a whole group, and therefore we know that with a group, one person can make a bracha for everyone. I mean, if we would gather, for example, forget about Pesach, the Seder, okay, forget about that. But let's say we have a Shabbos dinner, okay? If we have a Shabbos dinner, we sit down, does every person have to make Kiddush for himself? The answer is no. They don't have to make Kiddush for themselves, but what could be is that, you know, the person, let's say the Bala Boss, will make Kiddush, and with that, you know, he is already Moitzi, he already is able to, you know, to have everyone fulfill the mitzvah of, you know, of Kiddush, by simply answering Amen to his Kiddush and then sharing some of the wine that he distributes. And the same thing is true as far as the Hamotzi is concerned. You have a meal together, a Shabbos meal together, for example, and in that particular case, the person, you know, let's say the host who cuts the challah and says the bracha, Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, he can then distribute pieces to everyone. And the other people are only required to say Amen to the bracha, that's all. But they don't each have to make an individual hamotzi for the challah which is being cut up and distributed. So as we see, the Mishnah has a very practical application even today. Even though we don't have a seba anymore, as Tosfos points out, our sitting down is tantamount to their seba, but nevertheless, the fact that Echad Mevorech L'Kulam, this is a principle that still can be applied. And even in Birkas HaMazon, I mean, while we like to say Birkas HaMazon together, but if one person ventures aloud the entire bench and everybody answers Amen and expects, you know, to have the mitzvah of fulfilling, you know, the Birkas HaMazon through that particular person, then in that particular case, you know, they could be Yotzei by simply doing it. But of course, it's much nicer to you know, thought we should all bench together. There's no question about that. Okay? Mm. All right. Now, the mission then continued on the top of the next side over there. It says, what if wine was served to them in the middle of the meal? Now, the point over here is this. they did not have wine served to them at the beginning of the meal. But when did they first serve the wine? They served it in the middle of the meal. And in that particular case, the Mishnah says, "Kol echod v'yechod nevorech liatzmo." Then everyone has to make the bracha for the wine for himself. In other words, if I drink a little wine in the middle of the meal, and I did not hear, you know, Kori Priyagofen before the meal started, then I make a bracha. You want to drink a little wine? Fine, then you have to make your own individual bracha. But it's not that one person will then make a bracha and everybody else, you know, has the mitzvah. Okay, we continue now. Achar hamazon. What if you have wine after the meal is over? And of course, after Hamazon, we have to understand it would be like, you know, after the... it could mean either at the conclusion of the meal, or more likely what it means is like what we do, you know, when we have a festive occasion. In other words, the person takes a cup of wine, he benches over the cup of wine, and then he makes Bori Pri HaGofen, and everybody answers Amen. So that with that, you know, it would be like Echad Mevorech L'Kulam, okay? Behu Omer Al-Mugmar, and the person who is asked to make the bracha over the wine at the conclusion of the meal also makes the bracha over a special kind of spice ritual that they used to have back in the old days. What was it? What they used to do is that at the conclusion of a meal, in order to have a very pleasant aroma in the room after everybody is finished eating, then they would bring in like a little charcoal burner or a little basin with burning, and that they would burn spices in it, and that would give off an aroma. And this is called Al-Hamugmar. There are those who say that Al-Hamugmar is actually, let's say, like the origin of the Haggadah service that we have at night. In other words, they would conclude the Shabbos also Al HaMugmar by these spices and so on. That's why we say one of the brachas is Bori Mine Hasamim. Bori Mine Hasamim. Okay? Alright. The Yafal Pishe Mevian is HaMugmar L'Chasuda. And this is true even though they do not bring the smugmar, in other words, the burning spices, until after the conclusion of the meal. But the person who has made the bracha Bori Pri HaGofen, who was invited to make the bracha Bori Pri HaGofen, is also the one who makes the bracha over this. So this is what the Mishnah tells us. And of course, they're talking, you know, in some respects, about what they used to do rather than what we do. Okay? La'akar Surah, Rashi explains this after they already said Bori Mine Mizonos. I mean, they've said the Birkas HaMazon. And because the mugmar is not actually part of the meal, it is something which is attached to it, and so therefore it requires a separate bracha. But nevertheless, the person who made the bracha over the wine, since he is the one who began the concluding bracha, in other words, the Birkas HaMazon, so he's also invited then to be the one to recite the bracha Al Habukha. Alright, so okay, let's go briefly, instead of jumping a little bit, let's review briefly the Gemara over here. All right, so Omer Rabba Bar Rachmana, he said, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, the name Rabbi Yochanan, he said, Leishon El B'Shabbos, it's a Yom Tov. He says, this Mishnah that says that if you had wine at the beginning of the meal, before the meal, and you made the bracha for it, then you don't have to make a bracha for any wine which is served during the course of the meal. He says, this is only in reference to Shabbos and Yontif. This is when, you know, this was an official part of the meal, to first make Kiddush over wine, and then afterwards, you know, if you want to drink wine during the course of the meal, you don't have to make a bracha for the later cups of wine that are being made. Why? Because because people actually, when they sit down and they have the meal, they have in mind the fact that one of the basic ingredients of the meal is going to be this wine. Abol b'shoyim ha'shana, but other days of the year, mevorech al kol kos b'kos. Then he has to make a bracha any time that he simply takes, you know, a cup of wine. That's all. Because this is not a custom of, you know, just ordinary days. It's only a custom of Shabbos and Yom. Okay? Ikmoname, and likewise we had another teaching that was similar, that Omar Rav Yosef ben Levi, you know, and name other authorities, that this ruling that we had in the Mishnah applies only on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But they add the following. Also at a time when a person leaves the bathhouse, and also at a time when he has blood let, you know, they have the bloodletting, you know, they go to the, in those days, the doctor, the barber, whoever it is, you know, he cut a little and, you know, bleed him, okay? In these particular cases, it was understood that when you went to the bathhouse, you need a little wine in order to rejuvenate yourself, and therefore this was considered an official part of the meal. And likewise, the same thing is true, that if you had bloodletting, then wine was served to you afterwards in order to pep you up after undergoing the ordeal. Okay? Because in all of these occasions that we mentioned, Shabbos, Yontef, and going to the bathhouse, and bloodletting, and all of these events, we expect that a person is then going to sit down to eat a meal, and he's going to start the meal, first of all, with wine. And if he's going to be served further wine during the course of the meal, this is the normal thing, you know, as far as those particular meals are concerned. Avol b'shor yemos hashono, but other days of the year, the very halkos b'kos, that he has to make the bracha for each and every time that he drinks wine. Rabba bar Mary, ikla levei rabba b'chol. Alright, so now we have a story that, you know, one of the authorities who was mentioned before, Rabba bar Mary, he happened to go to Rabba's house, and it was an ordinary weekday. Chadzei deborek l'pnei hamazon. So what did he observe? He noticed that, first of all, he made a bracha over wine before the meal, and then he made the bracha again for wine after the meal. So when he saw that, he said, remember he said that he agrees, you know, for Shabbos, Yom Tov, and so on, but the question is, how about weekdays? Nevertheless, Yishar. He said to him, Yishar. Yishar is like Yashikoyach, what we say. Okay? In other words, you did the right thing. Okay? V'chedemar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, and likewise Rav Yishuv ben Levi said, Rav Yitzchok, he also agreed with it. Now, Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef, Ikla levei Abaye beyond. Now, this is a different story. Here, Rav Yitzchok, the son of Yosef, happened to come to Abaye's home on Yonta. Chazei deborech, akol kotsav akasa. And he noticed that even though it was Yontif, what did we say before, that on Yontif it's expected, nevertheless, every time that he was served wine, he made the bracha, okay? Like what you mentioned in connection with the Seder. So he said to him, Le'sovalo mar, the Lehoda Rabbi Yosef ben Levi, he said, aren't you in agreement with what Yosef ben Levi said before, that if it's one of these special occasions and you make the bracha for wine beforehand, then you don't have to make it? So his answer was Nimlachana, which means, well, I had no intention to begin with, but I thought it over. Nimlach in Aramaic means to think, okay? So I thought it over and I decided I would have wine again. But since I did not have the original intention, you know, to have wine during the course of the meal, so therefore any time that I took a cup of wine, and in that particular case, I make the bracha. So they asked the following question. Alright, we said in the Mishnah that if wine is served before the meal, right, and you make the bracha bori pri hagofen over it, then in that case that already takes care of wine during the course of the meal. But what if we started a meal without wine, right, and then in the middle of the meal, right, they started to serve wine? All right. Now, obviously, we have to make the bracha for piyagofen. This goes without saying. But the question is, mahu sheyiftor sayan shelacham ozon? Can we say that this will also then take care of any wine that's going to be served after the meal? After the meal, right? So he says, im timtzel omar, if you want to reason as follows, that berach al hayayin shelifnei hamozon, that if he had made the bracha over wine before the meal is served, poter sayin shalach hamozon, is what the Mishnah has told us so far, right? Then he's excused from making the bracha over the wine which is served at the conclusion of the meal. Why? Mishum dezelishtos, mezelishtos. Because in either case, what are they doing? The wine is being there in order for us to drink the wine. Okay. Abol hocha. But here, in this case, dezelishtos. In other words, they bring in the wine in the middle of the meal. For what purpose? In order to drink. And then the zelish roast. But then, what is the further serving of wine for? It's in order to soak the food in it, you know, to sort of dunk in it, to soften it up, and so on. Lo. No. Why? Because we're actually bringing wine for two different purposes, and therefore, if they were all brought for the same purpose, namely for drinking, then in that case we would say that the person has the mind is going to drink, and therefore, you know, making the bracha before, it doesn't have to repeat the bracha, okay? But if it's for a different purpose, then he has to make the bracha over again. This is one possibility. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps we would say, no, lo shana makes absolutely no difference. In other words, the wine is there, forget about whether it's being there to dip food in or whether it's being there in order to drink. In any case, it's wine that's being served, so that therefore the first bracha should take care of whatever wine is being served. Well, they were undecided. Rav Omar Poter. Rav says, yeah, you don't have to make the bracha for the second serving of wine, right? Rav Kano Amar. Rav Kano says, Eino Poter. No, you're not excused. You have to make the bracha. Rav Nachman Omar Poter. Rav Nachman says, you don't have to. Rav Sheshes Omar, Eino Poter. He says, no, not excused. You have to make the bracha.
Grappling them is that if the wine is not really used primarily for drinking, then
right? It's being used for a different purpose, exactly. Yeah, that's okay. Correct. I mean, this is basically what the reason is for them, because apparently the later wine that was brought really, let's say, not as a drink per se, but in order to accompany the food so that it would digest a little better. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda. The Chol Talmidei de Rav Amre Eino Poter, and here's a whole gang of them, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, and all Rav's pupils say, you're not excused. In other words, have to make the bracha over again for the later wine that's being served. Eispei Rav le Rav Nachman. So Rav asks Rav Nachman, he says, Bolehem Yayim Mesuchem Ozoin, right? If wine came to them in the midst of the meal, then Kolechon V'yechon Mevorech Liatzba, right? Then everyone is required to make the bracha for himself, Bori Priyagov, and he has to say for himself. He said this is wine that was first served in the middle of the meal and not, you know, at the beginning of the meal. Liyacha Hamozon, and what if wine is served at the conclusion of the meal? So Echad Mevorech Echulon, then we said that one person can make the bracha Bori Priyagov on behalf of everybody there, right? So Amalei, so he said to him, Hachi Kolon, this is really what he meant. Kim lo bolehem yai misoich hamozon, that if wine had not been served to them in the midst of the meal, Eloliacha Amozon, but it was served only at the conclusion of the meal, then in that case, Echo Mevorech Kulam, then one person can recite the Brocha Bori Priyagov on behalf of everyone. All right. The Mishnah then continued and said, yeah, that Beirach Al Hapas, if he made the Brocha for bread, then in that case, potars ha-paperis. Then you don't have to make the bracha for any hors d'oeuvre that are going to be served, okay? Al ha-paperis. But what if you started the meal with hors d'oeuvre and you made a bracha for that? Then lo potars ha-pas. Then in that case, you're not excused from making the bracha ha-motzi lech menoretz when you actually sit down to the real part of the meal and bread is served, okay? Beishamai omrim, Beishamai says, af lo masa kederim. It says that even, you know, the bracha, it doesn't excuse them even as far as the main meal is concerned. So here we don't know exactly what Beis Shammai is. Ibolahu, so the question was asked of our sages, Beis Shammai, Aresha Plige, are they in disagreement with the first part of the Mishnah, or Dilma Sefer Plige? Or perhaps they are in disagreement with the latter part of the Mishnah, not the first part. Ditko Omar, and they analyze it. When the Tanakhama, you know, in other words, the first authority who was cited over there, namely, you know, Berach al Yayin, right? Potter Asayim Sefer, okay. Is that Berach al Pas? All right, now coming to the question about that. did he mean that berach al hapas patars hapaperes, right? That if he makes the bracha for the bread, then he does not have to make the bracha for the paperis, the hors d'oeuvre, the kol shekein, and certainly masei kedera for any cooked food that is being served over there. Okay? Doesn't have to make the bracha for that. In other words, if you said the hamotzi at the beginning of the meal, then that takes care of all of these things that are going to be served. Beyosei beishamai, and we then to say that beishamai came the meimar to say lo mibay paperis dele potra lehu pas elo afilo masei kedera nami le potra. So are we to say then that beishamai is in disagreement with the anonymous Mishnah, which obviously represents more the accepted halacha, right?
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, but nevertheless, they're entitled to disagreement, because they had a logic behind them, right? So we would say then, Beis Shammai comes along to say, not only the parperis, in other words, the hors d'oeuvre, does the bracha, that the bracha over the bread takes care of that. But nevertheless, Beishamai is in a disagreement, and they say that not only when you make the hamotzi do you still have to make a separate bracha for the hors d'oeuvre, right? But also, whatever is being served as part of the meal, for that also you have to make a separate bracha. Is that what Beis Shammai means? Oh, Dilmah, or maybe they are in disagreement with Aseifa Plige. That's they're in disagreement with the latter part of the Mishnah, the Kotoni, where we learned that Berach ala Parperes, if a person made a bracha for the Parperes, which as we said before, it's like the hors d'oeuvre, right? So Lo Potaris Hapas, then in that particular case, he did not. He is not excused to making the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Ha'aretz when the main meal is served. Pashu Lod Potar. So maybe what they meant is that the bread is not excused from Avol Matzei Kedera Potar, but maybe the bracha for the hors d'oeuvre will include already the cooked foods that are being served, right? The Yosef Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai comes along, they say that they disagree with it. L'meimar, v'afilu Matzei Kedera Nami Le Potar, that even the cooked food is not, you're not free from reciting the bracha because you made the hamotzi on the bread beforehand. So they say, Teiko, we don't know. It remains a question mark as to what they are. All right, we'll conclude to the bottom of the page, and then we'll say,
Karash Rabban. Not on the bread,
yes.
You mean on the parperet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Hoy Yoshvin Kol Echad Yechad. All right. Now remember, the Mishnah says that if they all sat, right? Mm-hmm. Then in that case, everybody makes brachas for himself. But a seder, if they came to a meal where they had to recline, mm-hmm. like what we do at the seder, then in that particular case, right? Then one the echad, right? The Berachah Kulam, right? One can recite the bracha every. So they say, hey, seder in lo, a seder lo. Does it mean then that if they had a meal where they reclined, then in that case one can make the bracha for everyone? But lo he sebu, if they did not recline, then in that case no. Braminhu, so we have another teaching that contradicts this. And what is this teaching? It says, Atzora shahoyu holchim baderach. If there were 10 people who were walking on the road, they're taking a trip together, okay? Afal pi shekulam ochlim ev kikor echod. So even though they're all sharing the same loaf of bread, then each one benches, makes the bracha for himself. However, yoshvu le'echol, if they all sit down in order to eat, then in that case, afal pisha kol echod v'yechod oichel mikikaro, then even if each one had an individual piece of bread of his own, not sharing, the bread as we said before, right? But each one had his own individual piece of bread, echod mevorech kulam. One person can make the bracha on behalf of all of them. Okay? Kotone Yoshua. We have learned that they sat down. Afal Pishalohe Sebu. So we see then that it says Yoshua, that they sat down to eat. And this is even though they're not reclining. I mean, people are going on a trip. They're traveling together. They don't have the time for this luxury of sitting down on couches in order to recline. And yet, what did we learn? We learned that if they're only eating standing, then even though they have the same loaf of bread, right, it's each one for himself. But if they all sat down in order to eat, then we see that in that particular case, it counts as if, you know, they were hay-sable. I mean, it's tantamount to it. It's sharing a meal together, and therefore, echa mevorech le'kulam. Okay? All right, I'll have to stop over here because it's time for us to daven mishnah. So let us recite a kaddish to Rabbanon.
For a trip? Is that deen only for a trip?
Okay, let's bring it to its practical conclusion. Okay, practical conclusion comes to this effect: we sit down, let's say, to a meal together. Let's say in the morning we gather. You know, we have breakfast together. Okay. We are establishing the fact that we're having breakfast together, and even though each one of us recites, you know, Hamotzi Lechem in the Oretz, nevertheless, it would have been possible for one person, you know, to recite the bracha on behalf of all of us. Why? Because we're all being Koveya Sehuda. We are all setting ourselves together, you know, that we are establishing ourselves as a group to eat together. Okay? Right. So in that case, we not only, you know, we bake the bracha, but also the benching should also be, you know, we have to bench with the mezuman and things like that. Okay? If, on the other hand, people are simply coming into a restaurant, okay, and Joe sits over here, and Boris sits here, and Mendy sits over here, but they're not eating together as a group, then in that case, it's called Echa Mevorech Le'atzmo, then everyone has to make the bracha for himself.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Gentlemen,
Kaddish Mother.
Summary, we are. Yeah, we're on. Okay, we're on Mem Beis. Mem Beis, right? Mem Beis. Down towards the bottom of the second side.
Okay. Got it.
I thought we were showing it.
Mem Beis, side 2, down at the bottom. That's where we are.
Two.
Yeah.
In the bottom.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I'm going to start the from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, the 8th line from the bottom. The middle over there. All right. Just to review something that we had over there and that you heard on tape. All right. Remember that in the Mishnah, which we had, you know, at the bottom of the previous side and also at the top of this particular side. Okay, so we learned over there the following, that it says, Hey Sable, which again means that if they all came together at a formal banquet, in which in those days meant that they would all be reclining on couches, then in that case it says, Echa Mevorech Le'kulam. One person can recite the bracha for all of them, okay? Because, as I had already explained, this is considered, you know, a special mitzvah, and it's considered more ceremonial if one person will make the bracha, whether it's over the wine or whether over the bread, for all of them. But what if they sat instead of reclined? And in that case, it said everybody makes his own individual brachas. And as we've already explained, I mean, I showed you, I read to you last week from Tosfos. We saw that Tosfos says that this rule about the Seder no longer applies to us because we no longer recline on couches, but instead we sit around the table when we eat. So that with us, the determining factor is, are we eating as a group or is it simply it's everyone for himself? Okay? And this is really what the Gemara now is going to discuss. Carrying it out, okay, and trying to resolve the situation. Okay, so the 8th line from the bottom, all right, they quote the Mishnah, Hoyu Yoshim, what if they all sat down instead of, you know, Mesubin, instead of reclining on the couches, then Kolecha V'yecha Mevorech Le'atzmo, right? Everybody then recites his own individual bracha. So the Gemara wants to know, it says, Heisebu in, lo Heisebu lo, are we then to assume that if they sat down, that is, if they all recline, then that's where one person might, you know, recites a bracha for all. But if they didn't recline, then the answer is no. In other words, it's a free-for-all, everyone for himself. V'ra minhu, so opposing this, we have a different teaching that we had. This happens to be a Tosefta. The Tosefta says, Atzora shehoyu holchem aderech. Okay, there were 10 people who were traveling together on the road. Now, afal pi shekulam ochlim mikikor echad. Then, even though all of these travelers are eating from the same loaf of bread while they are what? They're walking, right? Then, in that particular case, that each one recites the bracha, in other words, hamotzi, for himself. Okay? Now, what is so unusual about this? Well, of course, is unusual about this is the fact that here they're all sharing the same piece of bread, which would lead us to assume that therefore, since they're all sharing the same piece of bread, they are
together.
A company, they're a group, and therefore one should be able to recite the bracha for all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yet, it says over here, you know, the Tosefta says that even though they're all eating from the same loaf of bread, nevertheless, kol echad yechem mevorech liatzmo. Then, on the other hand, it says, yoshvu leechol, what happens if they sat down to eat? You know, we're talking about these travelers now. Then, afal pi, shekol echad yechod ochel mekikoro, right? Even though each and every one of them has a separate loaf of bread, in other words, they're not sharing the same bread, but they're sharing each one their own particular bread, but the very fact that they sat down as a group, right, means that Echod Mevorech Kula, right? One person can recite the bracha for all of them. Now, of course, this contradicts what we had in our Mishnah, because what did our Mishnah say?
Mishnah said
that if they sat down, then it's not considered a group, right?
Only
but,
for equal.
So that therefore everyone is the bracha. So the Gemara now wants to know the following. It says, Kotone Yoshvu, right? So we have learned that here it says that they sat down. Afal pi shelo heisego, even though what? Even though they did not recline. But nevertheless, what is the din over here? The din is that one person can say it for all of this group of travelers, okay? So, which of course contradicts what we said before, that if they just sat down at the table, it's gone. Forgetting about what Tosfos says, and as I said, you know, because, as I say, but us, Tosfos being much later, therefore we follow Tosfos in this particular case. But when we analyze the text of the Gemara, we have to think in terms of how did they understand it? What was, you know, in their motivation or in their psychology at the time, okay? So Omar Rab Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rab Nachman Yitzchak said, Kigon, so he gives an example where, in which case, we would say that Yoshvu is tantamount to Heisevu. In other words, Yoshvu, they sat down as if they had, you know,
reclined
at a formal group dinner. It says, Kigon, the Amre, as for example, he says, let's say that the members of the group said, Nezel v'nechulach meduch plot. Let's go and let's eat bread in such and such a place. Duch over here means place, and plon is like plony, in other words, such and such a place. So in that case, once an invitation has been given for the entire group to come and to eat in a certain place, then in that case it's tantamount to being, right, a formal group for purposes of eating. Okay. Kinoch, now the Gemara tells us a story about a very important Rav. It says, Kinoch Nashe de Rav. When Rav passed away, Ozlu Talmido Basre. So his students walked behind him. In other words, they walked behind the bier, you know, bringing him to Kibur. Right. Then Kihadre, on their return from the Beis Elam, Amre, so they said, Nezel v'nechol lachbo anahar nadak. Okay, let's go and let's eat our food, literally our bread, right, at Nahar Danak. Nahar means river, and Danak was the name of a certain river. In other words, let's go to, let's say, the Connecticut River Showboat or something like that, and we'll sit down and we'll eat over there. Okay? I hope they had a kosher restaurant over there. All right. So, this already, as we see then, is like what? Like what the Gemara said just a moment ago, right?
The that, group is sitting down to eat.
No, then they're invited to sit down as a group, and so, okay. But we find that these people were still at a stage where they had not gotten this particular teaching. Why? Because it says, Boso de Krake, after they had Krake. Krake, you know, it means like they made a sandwich of what? Of bread and whatever filling they had in between. No, yeah, meat, whatever it was. So, Yaspe, they sat down. And then in this particular case, it says, Mekome Bayeluhu, Hey Sebu Davketanan, Abal Yoshwulo, O Dilmo Kevin the Amrinezum Neho Rifto Bedukto Palniso Okay Sebu Domi. Alright. Which in plain English means. Alright. They sat down and then they raised the following question. Namely, that when the Mishnah says Hey Sebu, in other words, they sit down, they recline, right, on these couches in order to eat, in other words, this constitutes a formal meal. Doesn't mean dafka. Dafka means that and nothing but. Okay?
Dafka only.
Right. Dafka tanan, right? That is this specifically what we've learned, but nothing else. Abol, but Yoshvu, lo. But if they sat down, the Mishnah says no. O Dilmor, or perhaps we should understand the Mishnah in the following way. Kevon, the Amri Nezel, Venechol, Riftor, Vedukta, Palisa. Come. And let's eat our bread or our meal in such and such a place, ki he sebu domi. You know, then it's tantamount to reclining on the couch, let's say, you know, to a formal invitation to eat together. So lo hava biyadaihu, which means literally it was not in their hands. In other words, what it means literally is that they were unable to solve this question. They didn't know how to answer. So the answer that means only Hesebu can be considered a group, or does it mean that as long as they said, come, let's eat together, it's as if it were a group. And they didn't know how to pass it. Okay?
And they didn't want to, and they didn't want to each say the prophet because it'd be right. A prophet of Atollah, right?
Yeah, well, the question is whether all of them should have
recite
made their individual brachas, or whether one person could make the bracha on behalf of the entire group. This is what the question is. Okay? So, Kom Rav Ado Bar Ava. So Rav Ado Bar Ava, he arose, and you see what he did. He says, Ahada Kare La Achore, the Korah Kriya Acharina. In those days, the custom was, not only did you tear kriya for those people whom the Torah itself commands that we have to tear kriya for, in other words, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, wife, a husband, right? But in addition, there's a law in the Talmud, this was their custom, and it's a law which we still find in Shulchan Aruch to this day, although I don't know who observes it anymore, okay? And that law is that if your Rav Muvhak, in other words, the rabbi from whom you have gained the overwhelming knowledge that you possess, passes away, then you are also to tear kriya for him when he passes away.
As a Talmud.
Right. Now, this is obviously what had happened, that the Talmidim of Rav, after all, Rav is one of the great giants of the Talmud. So when he passed away, his students obviously, they were all in mourning and they caught kriya. Okay. Now what did Rav Bar Ava do at this point? It says Ahada Kare La'afore. In other words, he turned the kriya that he already had and he turned it around so it would face the back. The Korah Kriya Achrina, and now he cut a new kriya. And of course, Rashi explains why did he do it. He did it because of the fact that he wanted to show, as Rashi says on the second line over there, why did he, make a second kriya? It's the Haros Evalakshov. He wants to show mourning right now, Kiyom HaMisa, a mourning which is as strong as that of the day of death, Al Shehoyu Tzrichim HaRa'ah, and that they needed instruction as to how to proceed. And yet at the same time they did not know how to proceed. So in other words, the Rav had spent so much time with them teaching them Torah, and still they couldn't decide what was the proper procedure at this particular point, this was a new reason for mourning, and therefore he caught a second kriya on his garment. Omar, and he said, Noch nafshei de Rav, Rav has passed away, u'birkas bazeinu lo gamrinan, and we never learned what is the law concerning the bracha that we should make over the food. In other words, whether we should have one person or whether
each one
for himself. We never learned. Ad de'osahu sava, until a certain elderly scholar